Grace and peace be yours from God, our Father, and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. You know, it doesn't always feel like God is answering our prayers. I remember at Christmas time one year, I was probably around 10 at the time, I really wanted toy soldiers for Christmas. And not just any toy soldiers either. You see, at my grandparents' house, we really only had a limited number of movies that we could watch, and so we loved to watch Babes in Toyland, the one with Keanu Reeves and the one from the 80s. Yeah. Does anyone know the movie I'm talking about? Okay, maybe a couple. But anyways, that's one of those movies that you probably only watch when you're at your grandparents' house. But I thought that those wind-up toys were just the coolest thing ever, particularly how they were actually the size of regular people. So I prayed and I prayed and I really wanted those, but of course, I didn't get giant toy wind-up soldiers for Christmas that year. Or for that matter, ever afterwards. Sometimes it just doesn't feel like God is answering our prayers, that God is listening to our prayers. We pray and pray for something to happen, but it doesn't. We feel like God is being silent, that he doesn't listen, that he isn't paying attention. I can't tell you how many times I'll be praying for someone or something, someone who is struggling or sick or dealing with difficult times, and it seems that God isn't answering that prayer. Sometimes it feels like it is, frankly, unjust the way that God is behaving toward us. We think that we are perhaps being punished unjustly. We are being punished for things that we didn't even do. And conversely, it feels like the bad people, quote unquote bad people, are being allowed to prosper unjustly. It feels like God isn't listening. And of course, the Psalms are replete with requests for God to hear and answer people's prayers. And it's not as replete with God answering prayers. Psalm 54, O God, save me by your name and vindicate me by your might. O God, hear my prayer. Give ear to the words of my mouth. Or then Psalm 102, hear my prayer, O Lord. Let my cry come to you. Do not hide your face from me in the day of my distress. Incline your ear to me. Answer me speedily in the day when I call. Or again, Psalm 143, hear my prayer, O Lord. Give ear to my pleas for mercy. In your faithfulness, answer me. In your righteousness, enter not into judgment with your servant, for no one living is righteous before you. We plead with God for him to answer our prayers, and we don't think they're being answered. We don't think we're asking for a lot from God, but even still, our prayers are not being granted. The struggle of unanswered prayer was all too familiar to Abraham, the subject of our Old Testament reading today, who had spent much of his adult life wandering around the ancient Palestine, waiting for God to follow through on his promise of an heir. Abraham was 75 years old, I think, when he left Padan Aram and went to follow God's call to go to Palestine, Canaan, what is now Israel. And he was 99 when Sarah finally conceived Isaac. That's 25 years of waiting for God to answer his prayer. Now, and Here Abraham is in our reading from Genesis 18, a year before Sarah would give birth to Isaac, and he is praying for mercy from God. You see, here, verse 20, the Lord says, because the outcry against Sodom and Gomorrah is great, and their sin is very grave, I will go down to see whether they have done altogether according to the outcry that has come to me. And if not, I will know. God ain't happy with Sodom and Gomorrah. Now, to give you some perspective, Sodom and Gomorrah are in the ancient world what Bourbon Street on New Orleans, plus plus Las Vegas, plus pretty much every red light district on the planet, wrapped up into one times three. They are bad news. So it's not without good reason that God is threatening to destroy Sodom and Gomorrah. They are full of wicked sinners. That entire valley is corrupted by these wicked, wicked sinners. In Ezekiel 16, God describes the guilt of Sodom, that she and her daughters had pride, excess of food, prosperous ease, did not aid the poor and needy, they were haughty, and did an abomination before me, so I removed them when I saw it. If you can think of something bad, Sodom probably did it. You know you're doing something wrong when you get when you actually have an immoral act named after your city. I mean, come on. And nevertheless, here Abraham is. He just fed God just before our reading today, in our reading from last week, and he is interceding for Sodom and Gomorrah. Why on earth would righteous Abraham be so intent on averting God's judgment against the Sodomites of Sodom? I mean, here's righteous Abraham, the father of the promise, interceding for the wicked of the wicked. Answer? Abraham's young nephew Lot made the unfortunate decision to settle at Sodom. And so, of course, Abraham is worried that Lot will be swept up in the destruction of the city. And so, here Abraham is asking God not to destroy the righteous along with the wicked. Abraham first reminds God of who he is in verse 25, "Far be it from you to do such a thing, to put the righteous to death with the wicked, so that the righteous fare as the wicked. Far be it from you. Shall not the judge of all the earth do what is just?" God is just. And so justice demands that the righteous not be put to death with the wicked. And so Abraham haggles with God like a good used car salesman. He haggles him down first. He won't destroy the city for 50 righteous. And then he gets to thinking, what if there isn't 50 righteous? So what if only 5 are missing? Maybe for 45. So for 45, God won't destroy the city. Then he haggles him down a little further to 40, then to 30, then to 20, then all the way down to 10 righteous. For just 10 righteous, for the sake of 10 righteous people out of a whole city, God promises not to destroy Sodom. So Abraham haggles with God, and God actually listens to his pleas for mercy. And the same holds true for us. God also listens to our prayers. Luke 11 gives us yet, our gospel reading gives us yet another example of listening to prayers. Jesus says to them, which of you who has a friend will go to him at midnight and say to him, friend, lend me 3 loaves, for a friend of mine has arrived on a journey and I have nothing to set before him. Well, you can probably stop right there. I mean, who goes and knocks on their friend's door at 3:30 in the morning asking for bread and expects them to still be friends? But who that does that, their friend would actually answer, do not bother me. The door is now shut. My children are with me in bed. I cannot get up and give you anything. I tell you, though he will not get up and give him anything because he is his friend, he will because he actually had the gall to do this. God answers prayers even more than that put upon friend. Even more than that, God will still answer our requests, not just because we make the request, but because of his love for us. God loves us so much, he knows how to give us good gifts, and so he gives us more than we can ever ask for. Now, sometimes God doesn't answer prayers the way that we want. Sometimes he cures the cancer. Sometimes the cancer returns. Sometimes he brings the father back into the child's life, but sometimes he does not. Sometimes he heals the broken relationship, but sometimes that relationship continues to fall apart. And yet, God answers prayer. The answer God gives may not be the one that we want, but it always works out for our benefit. If the cancer returns, it is only to bring strength and faith. If the father does not return to the child's life, God provides other male role models to serve as father figures. If one relationship falls apart, another one, perhaps even a better one, is started. God answers prayers. It may not be the way we want, but it is the way that works out for the best for us. God did not answer Abraham's prayer in exactly the way he wanted. God did still destroy Sodom just one chapter after our reading today. The sinfulness of that city was so great that there was not left one righteous person in the city apart from Lot and his family. And nevertheless, God still answered Abraham's prayer. He rescued Lot from the destruction. He didn't rescue everyone else, but he answered the core of Abraham's prayer. He rescued Lot. Though the rest of the city was overthrown with burning sulfur from heaven, God remembered Abraham, and Lot and his family were spared for Abraham's sake. He doesn't always answer our prayers exactly the way we want either. But we know that his answer is always in our best interests. Though he is all just and demands that sin be punished, he does not exact that punishment from us, the sinners. No, instead, he spares us. And not for the sake of 50 righteous, or for 45, or 40, or 30, or 20, or 10. No, he spares us for the sake of a single righteous person, the righteous man Jesus Christ. He punishes the one righteous man for the sins of the many, and he forgives the many for the sake of the prayers of the one. Praise God that he forgives our prayers and he forgives our sins, and praise him for answering our prayers for mercy. And now may the peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep and guard your hearts and minds through faith in Christ Jesus our Lord, unto life everlasting. Amen.